I was sure you were going to play Will Smith, Summertime.
It's Summertime. This is summer.
Gotcha.
And Calvin Harris, you know.
You know. I'm sickly. It's time for your chance to win $1,000. WQAM's $1,000 Slap Ass. Crowder watched part two of Slap Ass on Key and Peele. It's funny, man.
It is hilarious.
$1,000 Slap Shot. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word SUMMER to 72881. Text SUMMER right now to 72881. WQAM $1,000 Slap Shot brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at 4 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Text the word SUMMER to 72881.
Did Key and Peele blow up like the Chappelle Show?
I don't know if it blew up like the Chappelle Show. They were on, they were like, you know, on the cover of Entertainment Weekly and whatnot when it was at its height, but they've gone a little bit in their separate directions with Jordan Peele doing Get Out and now this movie coming up, Us, which looks like it's going to be just an unbelievably good movie, creative movie.
Because y'all bring up the Key and Peele skits. I didn't get into it, but I didn't know if I got old and lame because Dave Chappelle, when that Chappelle Show was on, yo, that was...
Dave Chappelle has this iconic staying power, you know, the Rick James stuff, the Charlie Murphy stuff, like that transcends and it's there. I don't know if Key and Peele, to me, the only thing Key and Peele I think did that really transcended everything was The Substitute Teacher, A.A. Ron, and like that to me is one that gained Chappelle-like traction. Key and Peele, like if you watch that stuff on YouTube or Comedy Central, like you'll fall down a wormhole because they're all funny.
Okay, I just make sure I didn't get lame.
But I don't know. I don't think it was that. I don't think it had the kind of cachet Chappelle's show stuff does.
Because I'll go back and watch Chappelle's show right now.
Chappelle's show, like there's a lot of them that I haven't even seen, and then I watch them now, and it's just, I mean, they're unbelievably funny.
I'm going to go down that wormhole one day with Key and Peele.
That dude, Chappelle, I mean, talk about risks. Like taking risks for the sake of comedy. And I mean, your jaw will drop sometimes.
Oh my goodness, Clayton Bigsby.
Oh, my God.
Can't be done nowadays.
Somebody texts in, no, Rafi, no more slap ass. Somebody texts in, if you were listening to the last segment, I have headphones on at work. I think people are a little suspicious of my outbursts of laughter when you guys do things like that. Somebody else texts in, LMAO, I'm dying right now. Crowder sounds like Porky the Pig or Porky Pig. I don't think it's Porky the Pig. I think it's Porky Pig.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a the on there. Beedee. And then somebody texts in, and this was so right. LMAO, Crowder, these aren't your friends.
I'm with you. And they can give you that gas, plim-peak, gas and diesel pre-purchase inspection.
Very funny. This was the when we were talking with Ira, this is the Dave Hyde column that he wrote in the Sun Sentinel about the state of South Florida sports. I won't read you the whole thing, but it does say we lead the leagues in losing, but this South Florida team disappoints the most. And it was a couple days ago. This was actually written before the Panthers' awful loss last night. But it says here in South Florida, during our era of losing, where wins are scarce and optimism fleeting, we ask a different question. Who's disappointing us the most? And he goes on to say, it can't be the Heat, which it's not, and a nice victory last night. He says, could be the Marlins, except they're systematically trying to fail and not only had the worst team in the National League last year, but have done nothing to improve it this offseason. Nothing. Since they want to fail, does that make them a success? And I think Dave's right. You can't consider them to be a failure, although they're failing. They're kind of trying to at this point. He says, our most disappointing team always could be the Dolphins, except this year they simply confirmed everyone's prediction that they weren't very good and the only place they'd go was the unemployment line. He writes, it also could be the University of Miami football team. And then he says, with careful consideration, though, there's no team having a more disappointing year than the Panthers. And he says, you know, the hockey team, just checking, you know, and goes on to say that not only are they losing with a roster that should be winning, not only did they have playoff expectations, but the worst part of it is that nobody cares. And I understand what his column's about, but I will say this. Where there's been a lack of optimism regarding all the teams, I think the Miami Hurricanes have kind of jumped into a little bit of an arena of optimism, right? With Mark Richt is gone, Manny Diaz, who, you know, he brings with him confidence and swagger and defensive violence, which yes. people like. And now with this hire today of Dan Enos, who was the quarterback's coach at Alabama this past season and has a history of being a good offensive mind, I think. And then the notion that maybe Jalen Hurts follows as a transfer, there's a little bit of optimism in Coral Gables right now.
You know the phrase, the fear of the unknown? Is there a excitement of the unknown?
Oh, no doubt. But, not always, right? Because all the NFL coaching hires, Adam Gase, I don't know, with the Jets, do Jets fans consider that the excitement of the unknown, or they feel like they know enough that it's not unknown? Is that where the, because are we talking in the next segment, Falero? What's the writer's name for the
Manish
New York? Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News. He wrote in New York one of the only positive columns saying that Jets fans should rejoice.
I read it and my jaw dropped.
I mean,
like, what is going on? What does he know we didn't know?
Looks like it was written by Adam Gase's wife.
It really does.
I mean, it was crazy. But
great leader, great coach.
I know what you're saying, the fear of the unknown, but also in sports, a lot of times that actually translates to excitement of the unknown, which, let's be honest, Hurricanes fans, Dan Enos is unknown by us. Come on. I mean, whoever's telling you that they're an expert in Dan Enos is lying.
I'll tell you what the Canes fans would say. It's an upgrade from Mark Richt's son.
Yes.
That's what they're saying. Oh, do we know if Manny Diaz is going to be a good head coach? Because he's never done it before.
Right. We don't know.
But you assume, and that's all it is assumption.
Yep.
He's better than the guy we had before. That excitement is there. Actually, with Dave's article, I go the other way, where at least there's stars on that team.
But they're not doing it. You're talking about the Panthers?
I'm talking about the Panthers. At least they have stars. Like we don't have the Heat has no stars. The Dolphins have no stars. At least they're stars. Even though they're struggling, the Dolphins and the Canes and the Heat, they're struggling without stars. So we have no jerseys to buy, and our team's losing. At least the Panthers have Ekblad and Trocheck and Huberdeau. At least there's names.
And Keith Yandel's an all-star. But yeah, this is what Dave Hyde wrote. He says, no one in South Florida even notices. And by no one, I mean no one. Okay, technically, there are some never-die Panthers fans who will send irate emails saying they noticed, and bless them. They put up with so much. They're also suffering from Stockholm Syndrome, which is the medical name given for fans who enjoyed suffering with a dysfunctional Swedish hockey team in the 17th century. This year was to be different. The Panthers got their front office dysfunction out of the way and finished a point out of the playoffs last year. But the more things change, the more the Panthers are followed by losing and apathy. And he writes, Miami Hurricanes fans at least followed the normal course of emotion in a bad year. Patience, denial, frustration, anger, disavowal, and finally flying planes overhead demanding someone be fired. Think of the furor if the Heat or Dolphins benched four top players in a game. By the way, Bob Bugner benched their stars the other night in a game for the entire third period. The stars benched them. Dave Hyde's point of the column is, he benched their stars for the entire third period, and no one noticed. Like, no one has expressed outrage on radio, via email, via social media. Like, Bob Bugner was so disappointed with the lack of play with his team, he benched everyone, including Keith Yandel, who's going to the All-Star game, for the entire third period, and no one noticed.
Teach him a lesson?
Yeah. Just to say, hey, if you guys aren't going to play hard, if you're not going to try, then you're not going to play.
I don't know. That's a bad idea.
I mean, it's a step below, you know, trading them like Adam Gase would do. Like, at least it was just, hey, you sit for a period and you're not coming back in.
Hell of a point.
He writes, what's that to say about the Panthers? Their narrative hasn't changed since 1997, the year after John Van Beesbrook and Brian Scrudland invented hockey in South Florida. If anything, the Panthers have added to their list of questions this season. They're ranked 13 of 16 teams in the Eastern Conference. They've fallen behind in the opening minutes of nine of the past 10 games. They've given up a league-high 9 shorthanded goals. And then last night, again, if you watched it, they gave up the game-time goal with 8 seconds left in the third period and went on to lose. And he writes, like, that's the team, like, the most pathetic franchise right now in South Florida, and tough to argue because there were expectations with that team, man. And this market, I'm telling you, with the state of the Heat. Now, exciting win last night against Boston, and fun to see Dwayne Wade go out and perform, but they're the sixth seed in the East. They're a 500. They're exactly 500, and that's what they're going to be this season. That's a C student. Yes. There's nothing exciting about a C student.
You don't spank them.
You don't spank them. You don't give them extra tokens at the arcade. Am I dating myself with the extra tokens at the arcade?
It's like a card now. You swipe it.
I use tokens.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
I used to.
What arcade?
Anymore.
I was going to say, where can we go with tokens?
So I think right now the Heat are a C student. The Dolphins, they're the Dolphins. They're a C student as well, but they're in disarray. The Hurricanes, like, this market, to me, is so ripe for the taking for the Florida Panthers. I'm not saying in the long term. This season, if the Panthers were playing up to expectations, if the Panthers were a legit playoff team right now, I think we'd be having the kind of excitement that Vegas had last season, where it was, hey, is this market really ready for hockey? And we've gone through it, you know, years ago down here, but Vegas and Nashville, remember the season before? Nashville was hockey crazy, and you'd go, Nashville is hockey crazy. The Panthers, man, did they miss an opportunity this year, because this is the year where it's just there. It's there for the taking, and they've got the talent on that roster. This place would be hockey mad right now if they looked like one of the elite teams in the NHL. And now they look like they're not even a playoff team.
It would be their window. We talk about, like, yes, when the guys went off to war, whatever guys stayed out of war, they were the pick of the litter because there was no more men around.
That was it. Like, right.
The other teams that down south, I'm still with it. I don't care, and I love Pat Riley. We knew about the big three. I think Miami's always going to be a football city.
Oh, it will be. I'm just saying this particular season. I'm not saying it'll ever be a hockey city. I'm telling you this season, with what was a mediocre Dolphins team at best, with what was a pretty bad Hurricanes team, yeah, by the end, with an average Miami Heat team, with an abysmal Miami Marlins team, this season in particular could have been one of those magical, memorable seasons for the Florida Panthers, where they're the most sought-after ticket. They're the most exciting thing in town. They're the ones that give us any kind of sports hope in South Florida, and they have failed.
They missed their window.
They missed their window.
With those, you know what? Would that? Do you think it would be different if Gallant was here?
I don't know.
Because that might have been the mistake.
I don't know. Well, which is why when Ira said, you know, I'm surprised Bob Bugner hadn't been fired yet, I don't know. The way that they pulled the plug on Gerard Gallant too early, I think maybe Doug Cifu and Vinny Viola have, you know, cold feet when it comes to axing a coach, you know, where, and listen, the buck stops with the coach. This team is underperforming its talent. I don't think there's many people that would argue Bob Bugner needs to be around, but I don't know if they're going to go down the firing the coach road again.
And whoever decided that we're set in the net, because we've been talking, we go out there all the time.
Yep.
Is Luongo getting too old? Is Luongo right. getting too old? Is Luongo getting
and
too
Reimer's
old?
And Reimer's not having the best season in the world.
So that's what if you look back, like, yes, they were hoping for a 45-year-old, however old this man is, to carry this team through a season. He missed a bunch of games last year and missed a bunch of games the year before.
Manish Mehta, he covers the New York Jets for the New York Daily News. He is the guy that is saying Jets fans rejoice because the Jets got it right with Adam Gase. He's going to join us in the next segment. Radio.com. Radio.
Cavanaugh.com.
Is this Kenny Loggins or a Hurt song? This is Kenny Loggins?
Meet me halfway, yeah.
Why don't you play a good Kenny Loggins song?
Footloose is overrated.
But there's a lot of good Kenny Loggins songs.
I played Danger Zone earlier this week. That's about it.
Well, this one's terrible. Play, like, If This Is It. That's a great Kenny Loggins song. If you're just joining us, the Miami Dolphins interviewed the offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins for their head coaching position today, and Valero thought it would be a good idea to then play Kenny Loggins songs.
Oh.
Dowell Loggins.
That would be a questionable head coaching hire, as is Adam Gase to the New York Jets. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Manish Mehta, he covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. We've had him on before. A lot of Dolphins fans, they got a hearty laugh out of his column telling Jets fans to rejoice in the hiring of Adam Gase. These are the first couple of lines. He's smart, confident, and doesn't put up with any BS. He realizes that a rotten culture will destroy everything. He's got no time for knuckleheads. The Jets hit a home run by hiring Adam Gase to be their next coach.
I strongly disagree.
You were on WFAN today strongly disagreeing.
Yeah. I want to know. I'm glad to talk to Manish because I want to see where he got this from.
I think he was on WFAN defending his column. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Manish.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Do you really believe what you wrote, or did you get possessed by something?
No, I believe everything that I write. The guys up in New York wanted Mike McCarthy, so they're still stuck in 2011, 2012. No, look, I think it's a really good move, primarily because their search was centered on who could propel Sam Darnold forward, who could work with Darnold and kind of get the most out of what he's, I think, destined to be. And I know you guys have soured, obviously, on Adam Gase.
What gave you that idea?
I don't know. I'm not sure there's an argument that I can make since you guys watch every play of every game. I'll just look at it and tell you that I don't know how many teams could win with Brock Osweiler, Matt Moore, and Jay Cutler off the couch. So that's something to consider. I'm sure there are other issues that you guys have with Adam Gase. But in my understanding, talking to people not only in Miami but in previous stops that he's been at, is that he will be very good in trying to get the best out of Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Manish, that's our thing about Gase, is where he comes down here. You know, he's not very successful, and even the record overall, he went 10-6 that first year. But just looking at the offenses, looking at 31st, and I know it wasn't the best quarterbacks in the world, but he's supposed to be this quarterback guru. Tannehill didn't get that much better. We're wondering, like in New York, do they overlook the 3 years in Miami, or was that a structural problem? It was the Miami Dolphins problem.
No, you have to look at the bigger picture here, Channing. I mean, you're saying that Ryan Tannehill ultimately didn't become what you guys thought, and that's absolutely true, but he did play well in 2016. Surely you guys would even admit that. And then when you look at 2017, he literally dragged Cutler out of the booth. And I think Cutler went 6-8 that year. Matt Moore played a couple games. 6-8 with Jake Cutler, it doesn't really matter what kind of schemes you have. If you're playing with Jake Cutler and Matt Moore and Brock Osweiler, that's the engine and the heartbeat of your offense. If you don't have a quarterback of any quality, how many games do you really realistically expect to win?
Manish Mehta, he covers the Jets for the New York Daily News, and his column was, it's been, you know, for goofs, Dolphins fans have circulated it on social media. What has been the reaction to your column by New York readers and Jets fans?
Well, look, I think creative, forward-thinking people understand why this was a good hire. I think people that are maybe stuck on someone's resume and past accomplishments would want somebody like Mike McCarthy. To be honest with you, of the eight candidates that the Jets interviewed, I thought there would be three smart choices. Adam Gase was in whatever order. Adam Gase, Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator in Tampa this past year, and Matt Rule, the Baylor head coach. And you know, people would say, well, these guys, what have they done? You know, they haven't done anything. Gase hasn't done anything. Rule's never coached as a head coach in the NFL. Todd Monken, who's he, right? No one's ever heard of him. But if you dig a little bit deeper and you kind of look at where the league is right now and where it's headed from an offensive perspective, Monken and Gase, to me, were the two best options that the Jets had. And then if you want to take a look at who would be a really good leader, CEO type of coach, Matt Rule checks all those boxes. You talk to anybody who's gone through Temple or Baylor over the last 4 years or so. So you know, I thought those three guys were the top choices. I thought the Jets really couldn't have gone wrong if they took any one of those three guys. But clearly Adam Gase's experience as a head coach and his experience working with NFL quarterbacks throughout his career pushed him over the top.
And Manish, did the Peyton Manning endorsement really affect the Jets' decision?
Look, it doesn't hurt, but that's overblown. I mean, look, if you don't like the Adam Gase hire and you want to say the only reason he got hired is because the owner spoke to Peyton Manning, go ahead, fine. That's fine. That's not true. It's not accurate. It's just another piece of information that the Jets had during their evaluation process over the last week and a half. Does a Peyton Manning endorsement hurt? Of course it doesn't hurt. But was that the reason they hired Adam Gase? No, it wasn't. And I wasn't privy to that conversation, but I think that knowing Peyton Manning's reputation, I think he was probably pretty honest. It would be disingenuous to say there's nothing wrong with Adam Gase, and I don't think that Peyton Manning would say something like that. I think he was honest. If I were a betting man, I would say he gave the pros and the cons of what it would be like to have Adam Gase in charge. So. Gase has done a lot of good things. I know people want to trash the record, but again, it's not just about the record. He had no quarterbacks. And some of the stuff that I had read and heard initially about what came out of that locker room in December, based on information and the research I did, I think a lot of that stuff was overblown or just not true. I think he was liked by his players. Now, he wasn't liked by everyone. And Channing, maybe you have a firmer handle on that, but there's some disgruntled guys in there for sure. But, and guys who are no longer on the team, and you got to take that with a grain of salt, whether it's Jarvis Landry, whether it's Phillips. You take that with a grain of salt, and I've heard certain things about their interaction with the organization. I think a lot of that was overblown. What I was told is that, from multiple people, that he is a great communicator with players one-on-one, and he has a lot of respect from a lot of people in that building that matter.
I think our biggest issue with him, and he is not even close to being on the list of, biggest coaching failures in Miami. We're having fun because he didn't do very well here and the Jets took him. Cam Cameron is our worst hire in many, many seasons. Nick Saban, really, that didn't even work out well. But I think the issue that a lot of Dolphins fans would have with Adam Gase is, if someone was making the argument for why his tenure was all right, was there didn't seem to be much of a difference. Channing and I have talked about this a lot. When you change head coaches, you want to experience, obviously, that Sean McVay switch, right? The Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay, where you have this very visible change in what a team does. And when you look back on it, there isn't much of a difference between the Dolphins when Joe Philbin was the coach and now the subsequent three seasons that Adam Gase was. So I think our biggest problem was there didn't seem to be much of a moving of the needle for someone that was, going to change the direction of the franchise.
Well, I think if you're going to draw that Rams comparison, you do have to, look a little bit beneath the surface here. The Rams were running what I think Todd Gurley described as a high school offense under Jeff Fisher, and Jeff Fisher's offensive coordinator, frankly, wasn't a guy who should have been an offensive coordinator. I believe he's a tight ends coach, position coach, not really suited to be a play caller. So Sean McVay, to me, is one of the top two or three play callers in the league, along with Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, I believe, is one in that pantheon of really good play callers. So when you bring in a guy like that, coupled with the number one pick in the draft, in Jared Goff, and a top two running back difference maker on offense in Todd Gurley, you're going to have a big swing, a big difference. It would have been interesting to see what Sean McVay would have done if he did not have Jared Goff or Todd Gurley, but I don't want to take anything away from him because, again, he's one of the best play callers in the league. So last I checked, Adam Gase won 10 games, went to the playoffs his first year. These last 2 years, he won 13 games in the last 2 years with a roster, to be quite honest with you, especially this past year, that was probably worse than the Jets, to be quite honest with you. And I know people say, well, he's got control of the 53-man roster. That falls on him, and that's a fair criticism, without a doubt. But what I like about Gase, in addition to the idea of working with Darnold, is that, look, he doesn't have time for a lot of garbage, to be perfectly honest with you. And if guys aren't going to buy in, he's going to trade them, you know, like Jay Ajayi. You know, if guys don't want to, you know, take the contract that's offered and want to get, you know, 180 targets a year like Jarvis Landry, then, you know, he's out of here. I like that attitude. I like that mindset. And I think that kind of needs to happen with the Jets as well. Not that they're flooded with a lot of malcontents, but, you know, I think that would be a good thing for this organization to have someone in here who comes in with that mindset.
That's what I was going to ask you, too, because the whole locker room dynamic, I think that Gase doesn't like outspoken guys that question him. Because that's where most of the stories were. Like, Jarvis Landry went and asked him, why am I always in the slot? And he would go talk about football, but they were questioning Adam Gase. And Adam Gase is more of a, just be quiet and run my system. Do it my way. Get out of my office. Is there anybody on the Jets that you can see that would be a problem with?
Well, I don't know about that. I know there's some strong personalities. If you look at the Jets objectively, they have two leaders. They have more than two leaders, but the two primary leaders on offense will be Sam Darnold, obviously, and on defense is Jamal Adams. And Jamal Adams speaks his mind. You guys are fully aware of that.
Yeah.
He did not make it any secret that he believes that the Jets need an influx of talent on that roster. So he's never going to bite his tongue. I think it comes from a good place, and I think based on, you know, all the information that I've gotten about Gase, you know, if it comes from a good place, you know, you don't have ulterior motives, he's amenable to listening and to changing and to be flexible. And if he wasn't that way in Miami, and I can't tell you that he wasn't that way in Miami because I wasn't down there every day, but if there were issues in that respect, you would hope that the second go-around in a different place, he'd make the proper changes and adjustments to, you know, quite frankly, fix some of the shortcomings that he had. Because he wasn't perfect. I mean, obviously he wasn't perfect. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he was perfect in Miami because he's not, and he wouldn't tell you that either. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he's learned from those 3 years down there and how he can grow. Because what's not in question from the people that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a lot of people in a lot of different places, is that he is a really brilliant, bright offensive mind. And that certainly is what this team and this organization needs right now.
And what about the New York media? Is he going to be able to deal with them? Because he got a little arrogance to him now.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Obviously, I can't speak for every reporter. There are different personalities in that room, but my personality is actually very similar in that respect. You know, I've got a strong personality, and I usually deal well with people with strong personalities because I understand where they're coming from. So, you know, it would be an interesting dynamic. I think a lot of this stuff and a lot of the portrayal of the New York media is frankly not true, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of dogged reporters out there, a lot of dogged reporters in Miami. I know all of them. You know, there's a lot of, you know, guys that go after in Miami and Chicago, maybe not in New England.
But there's not that back page tabloid headline that, like, it just, the market is different when it comes to covering sports. Like,
you just got to be a little bit mature. If you're in Adam Gase's position, you got to be mature about it. You really got to not pay attention. I know that sounds like a cliche, and I know that coaches say that a lot of the time. But in this market, and I'll give Todd Bowles credit for this. And by and large, he did not really pay attention to the outside noise, and he was getting criticized, you know, left and right for the last several years. So I think, yeah, for any coach in this market, it's going to be no different for Gase. You really got to kind of put the blinders on and not worry about it, because you're right, it can get a little bit overwhelming. It can swallow you up if you have rabbit ears, if you pay attention to that too much. So that's something, you know, if that had been an issue in the past, that's something that clearly, you know, Gase would need to change.
Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News. He is one of the few. Are you the only proponent, do you think, of the Adam Gase hire in New York media?
Like I said, forward, creative, smart-thinking people would agree with me.
So you're the only one? you've made the radio circuit, right? I mean, there's been that's one of those columns where everybody wants you on the show to talk about.
Yeah, you know what? I typically make the radio circuit for whatever that's worth.
All right. Well, good luck. I was going to say I hope you're wrong, but I do. Yeah, I hope you're wrong. I'm a Dolphins fan. I want to phrase it in the right way. I think you're wrong, and I hope you're wrong.
We'll see what happens when it comes to Miami versus New York, because Gase won 5 of 6 games against the Jets. We'll see if the new head coach can do the same thing.
Oh, I don't think that the Dolphins are going to beat the Jets. Don't get me wrong. We've got a garbage team, but I'm just saying in general. No, thank you for making
Yeah, I think your next head coach is up in Foxborough right now.
I don't think anyone would be disappointed in that. I think Flores, I think Chris Richard from Dallas, and I guess Darren Rizzi, a special teams coach, would be the three finalists. And I don't think anybody would be upset with Flores or Richard and Rizzi, everybody but Crowder.
And out of those three, would you say Adam Gase is better than any of the three the Dolphins could get?
Well, offense versus defense, you know, apples and oranges. I will say this, though. Chris Richard is the head coach. He's a tremendous leader. I am sure you guys have done your homework on him. He is an incredible leader, and I think he would be terrific, to be honest with you.
Thank you for making time for us, Manish.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Manish Mehta. I said his name differently.
Why do you say his name weird like that?
Well, how do you say it?
Manish.
But I don't think it's Manish.
It is Manish.
I think it's Manish Mehta.
Did you hear me say it? I said it six times before you ever said it.
You also said Adrian Broner six times, and it's Broner. You also said this during a commercial earlier in today's program.
And they can give you that gas, gas and diesel pre-purchase inspection.
Sorry if I didn't follow your lead.
Jalen Hurts.
Who's this, Nazareth?
Yes. Never heard of him.
Love Hurts.
Who, Jalen?
Love Hurts.
I've heard this one.
So what did, I have it here. Tim Reynolds from the AP, he tweeted this out. A lot of reporters did, because we know that Dan Enos has been hired as the offensive coordinator for the University of Miami. He was Alabama's quarterback coach this past season. He was offered the Alabama OC job, so he chose Miami. And a lot of people are taking this to believe that maybe Jalen Hurts is going to transfer to the University of Miami and follow his quarterback's coach here. And we shall see. But this is what Manny Diaz had to say. He had a press availability today, and this is one of the things he had to say about the quarterback situation. We are looking for the solution. If the solution is in Coral Gables, that's fantastic. If the solution is outside of Coral Gables, that's fantastic. If bringing someone from the outside spurs one of our guys to bring his level to the point where they can uphold the standard of being the quarterback at the University of Miami, outstanding. This is an equal opportunity employer. We do not care who plays quarterback for us, but we do care that it's played at the standard that the great ones who have come before have set.
I like that.
I like that, too.
It sounds good.
Because it'd be very easy to say what? We're very happy with our quarterbacks here. You know, I'm going to coddle my guys. We're very happy with our quarterbacks here. And, you know, if an elite quarterback is available and wants to transfer to the university, well, certainly this is a high-profile university, and we would expect to be in the mix for any high-profile transfer. Like anything like that where you're stroking your guys' egos but also saying, you know, and this is not that. This is, hey, if someone comes in here, it can raise the game of the guys that we have. Because to me, he's saying, hey, the guys we have are not playing to the level that the University of Miami needs, which, by the way, is not a secret. I mean, all you have to do is look at last season. I like that. I thought that's a money quote by Manny Diaz.
And for Manny, I didn't promise nothing to these kids.
Right.
I was a D coordinator.
Right.
But, Coach, you told me Jaren Williams about to transfer. You said, no, I'd have a chance. Yeah, you're going to have a chance to start over everybody in the quarterback room. I think it's genius. This Manny Diaz hire is scaring me as a Gator. I don't like it, Manny. Go back to Temple. You're making too much sense down here.
Getting you a little nervous, huh?
Not for that first game. I'm not
I'll tell
lie.
You, though, but what if they had Jalen Hurts?
It would be an
That's
upgrade.
That is a game changer.
It is a game changer, but there's 11 guys on offense.
Understood, but if the quarterback is Jalen Hurts, everyone becomes immediately better.
If you know what, because I'm betting on the game. We're trying to go. I'm trying to find Winnebago's.
Orlando.
Now. Yes, it's at the Camping World Stadium.
CampUSARV.com.
Yes,
there you go.
Actually, we need to talk about that.
CampUSARV.com. Get them on the blower, Falero.
Jalen,
what?
The blower.
Jalen would take my bet down.
Like a hairdryer?
A phone, the blower.
Nobody calls a phone a blower. Come on,
no,
you take
man.
It too far.
Get him on the blower. You've never.
That was your college nickname. That's where you got that from.
That's funny.
But if I was going to take all bets, because I know as the game gets closer, the Canes are going to start talking trash, and I was going to say, I'm taking all bets. I got the Gators. If Jalen Hurts is here, I'm not taking all bets anymore.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Yeah. That is a game changer. And I do think there's a legitimate possibility that he transfers here. I really do. I really do. And if he was considering it, and then the Dan Enos news comes out, he's got to be considering it even more.
Yeah, and he coached him for a year, and Falero said, because I didn't know, because he was just there 1 year. He was at Arkansas until 2017. Right. And y'all told me earlier that there was a report that Dan Enos was, he wanted Jalen to play. He was trying to get Jalen back on the field when it was a Saban decision to start Tua. So if that was going on in the quarterback room and Dan Enos had Jalen's back and now I'm a graduate transfer, why would I go somewhere that I don't know anyone?
Right. If I have an ally somewhere and I know this guy is an ally, makes it pretty easy.
Let me ride with him.
And then, you know, Dan Enos says to you what? Manny Diaz has told me, I have 100% complete control over the offense and the offensive personnel.
Yep.
Wherever you go, I don't know if the OC is going to have that situation. I am telling you, Manny Diaz told me this. Because I think for Dan Enos to choose University of Miami over Alabama and over Georgia, he had OC position offers at both those universities. He chose UM. Something made him choose UM, and it might have been that.
And if you have one more year eligibility, you want to go somewhere where there's not a lot of question. You go to Auburn, they're quarterback, they have a young guy, is he going to beat you out and all? If you're Dan Enos and you're talking to Jalen Hurt, you have to say nothing more than, go look at some film from last season, Jalen. Mm-hmm.
See if you have a pretty good leg up on being the starting quarterback against UF game one.
And that is a hell of a selling point. Yeah. Because I don't know, the N'Kosi Perry stuff, I'm kind of souring on him. I don't know how good Jaren Williams can be, but neither of them have good film. As we sit here today, neither of them have impressed me on game day as we sit here in January 2019.
Crowder tomorrow is going to be at the Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Festival at Funky Buddha Brewery in Oakland Park.
21 hours.
I mean, we have been counting this down on this show. We have counted this down like the opening day of a game.
You're not going to believe me. I'm going to have trouble sleeping tonight. It's like Christmas tomorrow for me.
There are still some tickets available if you want to go to the Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Festival at Funky Buddha Brewery tomorrow. It's in Oakland Park.
Yes.
You could still get some tickets at maplebaconcoffeeporter.com.
Just let me tell some. Think about these times. I got a list of beers that I had last year. I thought about it. Peanut butter and jelly beer, French toast beer, pineapple blonde ale, Rice Krispie treat beer. You've had that
Sticky
one.
Sticky treats.
Key lime pie beer, German chocolate cake beer, pina colada beer. You gotta hurry up, man.
Tomorrow's the day. Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Festival at Funky Buddha Brewery. 6 minutes from now, your next chance at $1,000. You're gonna wanna get that code word, pick up the blower. You'll text in that number, and maybe you'll be $1,000 richer.